Let's Lost do it. Radio. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, yeah. Oh, no. Empowerment Saturday. 65 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you, your main man, Marvin Rome. We got Brother Hassan, Rashawn, Shabazz, Brother George, Sister Kristen, Marvin Rome, of course, and many, many others. African American empowerment, about better love, motivation, personal empowerment, and much more. Call somebody. You know, spread love. No greater love. Welcome, brothers and sisters. Welcome, one. Welcome all to Empowerment Saturday, African American Empowerment Saturday. I must qualify. Oh, my goodness. Yep. Man, I just made a mistake, y'all. It's going to be an hour today. Sorry. I put in 60 minutes. It's going to do 58 minutes. My bad. Anyway, we got to do what we got to do. Let's get right into it. The tenets of the NAAEA. Man, sometimes I just don't know. Anyway, we'll do it. Sometimes things happen. Got to go with life. When you live in this life, you just got to go and roll with it. So we're rolling with the punches today. When the punches come, you bob and weave. Don't just roll with them. Don't take bob and weave. So we're going to bob and weave on this show. And started with the tenets. Oh, my goodness. Peace, y'all. We need peace. I need peace right now. Trading with my own self. Anyway, sometimes it's like that. Peace. Politics, economics, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education. Those are all the components. We need a political agenda. That's right, political agenda. We need politics, a good political agenda that really speaks to understanding how the system works, right? Training and developing our people to understand how the capitalistic democracy, a democratic system in the United States, the Republic, works, right? Since they allowed us to be free in this country, you got to learn how this system works, particularly for people who have African ancestry derived from American slavery. Why you say that, Marvin? Because if you understand the system, you know how to navigate it. You got to understand economics, the economic system, capitalism, how all of it works, the rules, the laws, how to engage, right? How to navigate. So we can understand how to get this process that we called freedom works, right? We're looking for emancipation, a second level of emancipation, right? You got to know how money works, right? When you know how the system works, right? This is right, like our really super first generation of African-Americans who are retired, right, from the system. And so we're thinking, hey, when I retire, I got it made. But a lot of our elders are struggling because they're just making ends meet, right, because nobody really taught them how the system works and how the whole retirement system working. So we have to educate ourselves, right, on how things work. Let's get to the A, right? The A is athletics, which is wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You got to take care of your health. You got to take care of your personal wellness, and you have to do a good job of taking care of your mental health as well. The mental health component is important, right, for all of us to understand how to take care of the temple, our well-being mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, culturally. Those are the areas that you got to take care of, but you got to make sure you focus on your mental health and your stability that you can deal with this system and these people out here. You got to make sure that you are stable mentally and emotionally. You just do. Let's go over to DC, which is relevant cultural programs like this one. We got to educate our people, right, on boundaries, morals, those things, values that matter to us, right, because we've brought into this value system that's not working. It's not. We're going to talk to Brother Hassan today about life in this society, right? And we could get a glimpse into what this society does and how it impacts and how you have to navigate that. So we'll be talking to Brother in a minute. And lastly, education, a comprehensive education that really looks at how we need to run this system, right? And now I'm not talking about the welfare system or the social work, social service system, but I'm talking about how to navigate the American system so that we can do a better job of doing what we need to do to survive, not just surviving, but actually thriving in this society. So now we'll go over to the Stan Maximum. Be right back.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I
we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
As always, Brother Stan is so right. We got to stop getting in to fit in and really have systems that work for us, strategies that work for us. And we're going to have to do a job of doing it. We're going to have to get that work done, and we're going to have to be diligent and focused on how we're going to set ourselves up for a great future, no matter where we are. Now it's time for our Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with Brother George. Oh, yeah, here it is, Brother George. Welcome. Come on, Brother George.
Good afternoon, brother.
Afternoon.
How
are you?
I'm doing
good,
fine,
man.
Brother.
We're on an hour. We're on an hour today.
Okay.
So I messed up, but maybe it's Christmas Eve and it's probably a good thing. But we're at an hour today, so we got about 53 minutes. But I think we could get it all in if we are
right.
Excellent
Let's
at
go.
Executing the plan. Turn it over to
okay.
you.
Today's principle from the Nguza Saba is Ujima. Collective work and responsibility to build and keep our community together, to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems, and to solve them together. Ujima, shaped to represent an enclosed and secure compound house. This is a symbol of safety and security, brotherhood and solidarity. It reminds us of the inner sense of security that comes from being a valued and respected part of our communities. That's outstanding. Today, once again, I'm going to read from David Walker's appeal to the colored citizens of the world, but in particular and very expressly to those of the United States of America. And I'm going to read from the portion that he has as the preamble. My dearly beloved brethren and fellow citizens, having traveled over a considerable portion of these United States and having in the course of my travels taken the most accurate observations of things as they exist. The result of my observations have warranted the full and unshaken conviction that we, colored people of the United States, are the most degraded, wretched, and abject set of beings that ever lived since the world began. And I pray God that none like us ever may live again until time shall be no more. They tell us of the Israelites in Egypt, the Helots in Sparta, and the Roman slaves, which last were made up from almost every nation under heaven, whose sufferings under those ancient and heathen nations were, in comparison with ours under the enlightened and Christian nation, no more than a cipher. Or, in other words, those heathen nations of antiquity had but little more among them than the name and form of slavery. While wretchedness and endless miseries were reserved, apparently is poured out upon our fathers, ourselves, and our children by Christian Americans. These positions I shall endeavor by the help of the Lord to demonstrate in the course of this appeal to the satisfaction of the most incredulous mind, and my God Almighty, and may God Almighty, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open your heart to understand and believe the truth. He wanted to start off that appeal by using a lot of the examples that they use as such cruel slavery that happened in the past. And his point was, they don't even come close to what we experience here in America. So, Brother Marvin, if you don't have no questions, we can move on to the next segment. Back to you.
Man, you know I got a question for you. With all that going on with the heathens and all that wretchedness going on, where are we today and what we need to do? You know that one thing, to get back on track.
Well, we need to use UGMA. We need to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and solve them together. That's the perfect answer for what you just asked. That's what we need to do as a group of people. Because what we experienced in slavery is still affecting us to this day, whether we know it or not. And UGMA is the perfect principle to answer your question today, brother.
Thank you, sir. That's so good. We need each other. Here's the truth. We need each other more than ever right now. All of this independent-minded thinking about I don't need this, I don't need him, and I don't need her, and men don't need women, and women don't need men, we got to address ourselves. Nowhere in the world do other people say that about each other. Nowhere. Discussion that women don't need men and men don't need women. That's insanity. But we're going to have to do a better job of looking at ourselves and evaluating where are we taking on these habits and values and morals from. What I'm trying to do is get you to look at it for what it is. We're going to have to turn the corner on these people because the influence is great. That you don't need a man and you don't need a woman and you don't need a family and you don't need friends is insane. I said it. Don't be mad with me, but we need each other more than ever. And we're going to have to do the collective work of changing our minds and having a value system that works for us. If you don't understand the importance and the value of family and friends, something is the matter. And I'm going to ask the question, what is the matter? What is the matter with a group of people who don't love each other, who don't respect family and values, don't respect the sacredity of marriage and relationship and how parents are supposed to be respected by their children and elders are supposed to be respected by their children and their children's children? Oh, we got some changes to make. We're going to have to start with you. We're going to have to start with your mentality and your mindset. And most importantly, you're going to have to teach your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren to stop following those who don't have the right values. You figure it out. We're going to go with the Brother Hassan. Empowerment Saturday. We got Slido in today. The number is 262-536-262-536-2. If you have a question, if you want to get in anonymously, all you got to do is go over to slido.com. That's slidotryit.com. Put in the code 262-536-2. Write in your question. Type in your question, however you want to do it. Let's go, Brother George. You ready? He ain't ready yet. Brother George.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready for Brother Hassan?
Yes, sir.
There we go. Oh, yeah. Y'all know how we do it. Come on.
Bring it. What?
What? brother Hassan Rashan Shabazz. How you doing, sir?
Yes. Oh man, I'm here, my brother. Peace, and solidarity to you and Mr. Brown. Y'all know, you know, I really be feeling what y'all got going on, man. And it's such a pleasure to be invited back. I'm happy to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
And again, welcome to the show. I'll tell you this, man. There were so many comments that I got about the last show or the previous show that you did talking about the transition, right? And so we want to get an update on that, what you're doing, where you've been. And to start out, what's been the most difficult thing for you in your transition from prison to free society? And then I want you to talk about, you know, the things that you spoke about that you wanted to give back to our communities and just overall what you're doing. I know you got freedom over everything going on. You got Sister Krista. She's going to come in a little while, I guess. I don't know how y'all going to do it, but we're going to turn it over to y'all and we're going to do a little dialogue. But I want to know right now, as the listeners begin to come in, what is that thing that you want to share with our listeners today about your transition from life in prison to life in society? Bring it, brother.
Wow, I think it's a very broad topic to talk about transitioning, man. But for me, I can honestly say this, that my transition was based upon everything that I had done previously. Like the 7 or 8 years prior to me coming home, I was in the lab cooking up what it is that I wanted to eat when I got out here, right? The things that I wanted to put on my plate for me to partake in once I reached home. And so I think that it says a lot. It has a lot to be said about what you do in preparation for whatever it is that you want to do in life, right? I truly believe that your fate is based upon the time when your preparation meets opportunity. For me, I think that preparing myself, it just catapulted me into a place where I was able to make a very, very smooth transition. And I'm going to speak a little bit about that, because for me, it was all about all of the activism, all of the work that I had been doing while I was incarcerated, to become a certified paralegal and to work in the law library, 4 different law libraries, to help different individuals obtain their freedom, even though I wasn't able to obtain mine, to build nonprofit organizations from the inside, to be a co-founder of the Virginia Prison Justice Network while I was inside, and to join forces with the Coalition for Justice with Margaret Breslow down in Blacksburg, the Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality with Phil Willato, 2 of my comrades, Ascari Donso Lumumba and Chanel Burnett, who are on the steering committee of Virginia Prison Justice Network, and one of the final people that I met while I was incarcerated was Krista Ellison at Freedom Over Everything, who I've come to work very closely with since I've been home, and we've been able to make a lot of progress in our endeavors to accomplish the goals that I set out for when I came home, and she's just been the perfect partner as it pertains to our activism and what we've been able to accomplish, man. So I can't say enough to that.
I like that.
And so those were the things that kind of made my transition successful. And I always talk to many guys incarcerated, and I'm telling them, make sure, man, that you're reaching out to society. Start reaching out to your senators and your delegates and you know, your congressmen, letting them know that you're on your way home, right? Letting them know, because they know now, you know, you have the right to vote. You can get your rights back and you can vote. So you are now their constituent, and you must exercise your power to obtain the resources that you can so that you can be in a good position when you get out and when you come home. start to do those things now, no matter how much time you have.
I like that.
And I think that your success, your transition can be just as successful as mine. I've only been out 5 months, and most people meet me and think I've been out 5 years. So,
man, has it been five months already?
This is going into the fifth month right now. It's just 4 months, but going into the fifth month.
Okay, let me ask you something real quick.
Yes, sir.
You talked about in the opening again, because I want to emphasize a point here. You talked about preparation, and you said your preparation was 8 years. So think about the planning that this brother has gone through to develop an idea or a concept or a strategy that's going to help him now after his release. Can you just talk a little bit more about the preparation and the planning process that you implemented and are executing now towards your success?
Oh, most definitely. When I began this journey of 7 years ago, toward where I wanted to be today, it was very comprehensive for me, because there were a lot of moving parts to what it is that I wanted to do, right? I wanted to start my own corporation. I wanted to start my own nonprofit. I also wanted to find a way in which, you know, for my vision was that I could find a way to unify, right? A lot of the grassroots nonprofits and organizations and everybody that you see me working with now at this point in time, showing and proving that the plan is coming into fruition. But the preparation for it was that I had to study things like the building of corporations. How do you build a true and you know, well-organized corporation? When you're incorporated, what does that mean? I implore guys to make sure that you study up on filing for becoming 501c3 certified if you want to be nonprofit. Forming your own LLC, a limited liability company, if you want for profit, and start to really study those things that you want to do. For me, I have trained myself to become an investment advisor. I studied the stock market for over 14 years. And so I put together workshops that I do in order to teach people financial literacy. And to show them how we can form our own investment clubs, and we can take a chunk out of this market and start to build and rebuild our own community. You know, and so I had been doing that for 8 years prior to me coming home, and just working in that vein, and then actually creating a support system by having a multitude of people and organizations that were there to catch me when I came home, literally there to support me and to cushion whatever fall that it could have been for me. There has not been that, and it's just basically been because of all the support and the people around me. And I think that you have to surround yourself with good people. Make sure that, you know, your circle is tight and that everybody in that circle is focused on the same goals and have the same objectives in mind. And you can be just as successful. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Sorry about
that. I was going over to Slido, right? And a great question has popped up in the Slido. Again, slido.com. The question is, what is your advice to brothers and sisters who may not have their family support when they come out?
I will say this, because I know many guys that don't have family support. Presently, right now, I work as a lived experience expert for Help Me Help You Foundation in a transition home. And I watch guys who come home and they don't necessarily have family support, right? What I found is that a lot of the family and the people that I surround myself with was guys that I knew who were incarcerated that had previously left and came home, and I kept in contact with them. And those guys have become a great support system for me. They've been like my family. And when you see us in pictures together, you know, it's not contrived. It's not something that's fabricated. It's genuine love, right? Genuine love. And so what I would tell them is that, you know, just because your blood ain't there, the people around you that's family don't have to be blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can have family and spirit, right? And
that's true.
You can have family in direction. You know, when you all are focused on the same goals and you have the same intention, you know, you surround yourself with people like that. And if you don't have that, what we want to do for those brothers and sisters, right, who do not have that type of family, what we're striving to build is what we call, right, in alignment with Ujima, the third principle of the Nguzo Saba that you most profoundly spoke about early on, collective work and responsibility, right?
That's right.
And, you know, we was going to talk about this, of course, but at the appropriate time is right now. What we were really talking about doing is creating, like, the first ever fraternity / sorority of formerly incarcerated persons, right? We want to create that type of family, that type of camaraderie, right? And we wanted to do this under the name of CORE, which is Community Organization Restoring Equality.
I like that.
And we're right now presently in the lab putting together all of the moving parts and the pieces to that puzzle that's going to allow us to bring in all these organizations under one umbrella, one brotherhood, one sisterhood, that we might be able to assist each other in our endeavor.
I like that.
And we want to create that family for all those brothers and sisters who may not have it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That is tremendous. And again, if we can help assist, let's do it. We need that. Definitely need that. That
right
fraternity
on.
Idea is right on. And we need that bond, that solidarity, that commitment, that loyalty. We got to have it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's a question for you, brother. You know, when you want to inside, you spoke about wanting to give back. And so tell us, what are some of the things that you've been doing to hold true to wanting to give back once you've made this transition to this side of your life?
Yeah. Well, I think that if anybody look at my social media page, like, you know, my social media don't really just have a whole lot of pictures of me just with family and stuff. The most of my social media page is me being at certain community events, having an opportunity to actually participate in the Abner Clay Park reunion that happens every year. I was there, was out there interviewing the organizations that were there. I was there as a member of the Defenders, and actually out there distributing the Defender newspaper for my friends and comrades Phil Willado and Anna Edwards, and then also just meeting all the different vendors and the people out there and interviewing them and broadcasting that for the people. And I had an opportunity to go to Happily Natural Day and broadcast that and represent there. And then from there, I had an opportunity to go down to Norfolk and to actually interview Commonwealth Attorney Fahey and Congressman Bobby Scott, who actually showed up to our most previous event this past Saturday. We had a chance to chop it up with him for a little while. And then also, I performed at a talent show at 900 Decatur Street, which is the New Life Tackle Ministry church there, with my friend and comrade Toshiba Scott. And we really had a good time there, and people can catch that and check that out on Instagram at Rock Disciples.
You've been busy.
Very, very, very busy, right? helping people get registered to vote. I spoke at the Humanization Project for the ACLU at the St. Paul's Episcopal Church. My life has been a snowball of beautiful, beautiful things happening for me and meeting more and more beautiful people every day. It's been great. It's been an opportunity for me to actually give back. I went through community circle training with Coletta McKeachin. And so I'm trained to do community service in our communities now all over the city. Man, it's just, what else can I say? It's so much that people often think, like, there's no way you did that in the past 4 months. And I say, only with the Creator and my family and my friends around me, that's the only way I've been able to accomplish those goals. Oh, might I add the Point of Impact podcast? How can I forget Point of Impact, which I co-host with Krista Ellison and my brother Malai Minhag, from down in Norfolk, and you know, we've even had offers from the NAACP to actually start our own radio program. So
I like that.
It's been great. It's been great. What can I say? I'm so blessed, I'm so humbled, and I'm so thankful, you know, for everyone who has done anything to assist me. I want to give thanks and praise and tell you that I acknowledge you, and hopefully one day I can show myself worthy and approved.
I hear it. So you are a great influence for those who are listening and those who have relatives who are currently incarcerated or have been released. Y'all need to get with this brother right here because he's on the right track. We need brothers like you, Brother Hassan. So let me go back to Slido. Again, it's Slido.com, and Slido is heating up. The number today is 2625-326 if you want to get in a question that way. But also 845-277-9250 is the number if you want to call in on the call-in line and talk directly to Brother Hassan or ask a question, right? This is a family conversation. It's open discussion. There's no right, no wrong. But guess what? The show can't be anything if you don't participate, right? But we got good brothers and good people. See, this is a reflection of African-American empowerment at its best. See, the system has been designed to put us and keep us down, but it sees like this brother like right here, Brother Hassan, Rashawn, Shabazz, that I hope I said that right. I hope I did. Where the seed just comes through the weeds and rises to the top. So I am encouraging you, brother, right now because I am inspired by you that you keep doing that work, and we're going to get behind you and keep pushing. So here's a Slido question number two. What makes you tick? What makes you go, brother? What keeps you motivated? That's Slido. Slido.com. The number is 2625-326 if you want to get in that way, 845-277-9250. We got Brother Shabazz on the line giving it to y'all, and it's real in his life. Go ahead. Answer that question for me, brother.
Look, that's a great question, right? But I'm going to speak to that because a lot of people say that I have a great motor, right? But it is something that makes the motor go. The motor can be good, but if you don't have no gas to put in it, it ain't going nowhere, right? So like, I have a great motor,
tell it, brother.
But my gas, the gas that I have, is a spirit of love, right? That has enveloped that has been at the foundation of every reason why I was able to make it through 23 and a half years in prison and go to 10 prisons. And meet thousands and thousands of guys and come through that experience without not one hair on my chinny-chin chin being harmed or hurt.
Okay, stop. Please, brother. This brother just said love. I hate to stop you, interrupt you, because I like – this brother said love, and that is so much of what we need. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead, brother, son. Please. Go ahead, but
I think
you know how
people don't.
That's what we need,
like,
right?
I got to give it to you raw, right? It wasn't like my prowess or my ability or my tenacity or my aggression or any of that that got me through the time that I was incarcerated. What makes me go is love. And I was given so much love by my family that they didn't realize that the amount of love that they had given me was enough to carry me through my tenure in prison and allow for me to find within that my abilities, my talents, my opportunities, you know, to embrace the struggle and the challenge. I could only do that through love, because if I had hated or in any shape, form, or fashion allowed that to consume me, then I would be nothing but a reflection of the system and another statistic, right? And I could not allow for myself to become that. And so I fought wholeheartedly against it while I was incarcerated. And it was the love of my family, the love of me wanting to do something better for my community, the love that I had for the people that I felt like I had let down, right? And that I might one day have an opportunity to redeem myself and be able to show them the love that had always been there. They just never had an opportunity to see it, right? And so that's what makes me tick, man.
We're talking today to Brother Hassan Rashan Shabazz. Spent 23 years incarcerated. Can I ask you, what year did you go in? How old were you?
I went in 1999, right after my 23rd birthday. I had just turned 23, and I spent 23. So I actually spent more time in prison than I did alive free. I spent 23 years and 22 days on the street as a free citizen, and I spent 23 and one half years, approximately 5 months more, incarcerated of my life. And so I'll try not to get too deep, you know, with people, right? Okay. But I try to tell people that, you know, in order for you to be a complete person, you got to have 23 chromosomes from your mother and 23 chromosomes from your father.
All right,
those chromosomes add up to 46. And so what I saw in that was the 46 years that I was when I got released, and the 23 years I had spent free, and the 23 years I had spent incarcerated. And I knew that if I took that entire experience, that it would make me a complete man. And I could take that and then be an example for men, for women, as to what type of man that you would want for my brothers and sisters, how to be a better brother, right? How to be a better uncle, how to be a better nephew, how to be a better son, all these different things that I really fought hard to learn how to become the embodiment of. And then when I got here, I was able to exemplify that, and it has not been an effort in futility. It has not been in vain. It has come back full circle so many times over. And, man, I just think that it's a lot to be said about working on yourself and making sure that you keep it positive. Positive energy activate constant elevation. You know, you can't.
All right.
You know, that's the type of peace that I strive for.
I like that.
You know, and that's what I strive to give the other people around me.
Constant elevation. I love it. So with the positive energy, because it sounds as if, and I'm not saying as if in a negative way, that instead of getting bitter, you got better.
Oh, most definitely.
Better brother, husband, better friends. And that's what you're promoting, and that's what you're teaching. So what words of inspiration will you give, not only to people who, because I think we're incarcerated in a different way, to be honest, right? And although we are free, I'm using my fingers, we, quote unquote, we're not necessarily free. So what you're talking about is true freedom in terms of the love and the positive energy and the things that you want to give back to it, and the contributions that you are making to society. Give it to our people today. What they need to do, man.
Man, I would tell you like this. I heard you at the very beginning of the program, and you was like, man, did you, man, whew, man, we just got to roll with the punches sometimes. And I said, it brought back something to mind, right? It is a quote, and I believe that it's from, I'm not going to misquote the person, but I'm going to give you the correct quote, though, and then you can find it. The quote, it goes a little something like this. It says, though I may not be able to change the direction of the wind, I can always adjust my sails to reach my destination.
All right.
And I want that to sit in a little bit for a little bit with people, because, you know, we often fighting against things that we don't have the ability to change.
True.
Sometimes you got to adjust your sails if the wind is blowing a certain way. When you're striving to get to a particular destination, you know, you can't fight against the wind. You got to learn how to deal with it, how to use it, right, to take you where you need to go. And it's the same thing with the circumstances that prevail us in life, right? Those are the things that are our winds, the winds that we can't control sometimes. And so we have to learn how to adjust ourselves that we might be able to use that wind. And so we don't get bitter, we get better, right? And it's the same way with how we use ourselves to navigate the wind that's around us. So like for me, it's at the crux of what I do. Always remaining adaptable. Always remain not being so fixed in my position, being a little bit more flexible with people, a little bit more patient, right? And then allowing patience to have her perfect work. And I think that has a lot to do with you being able to adjust your sails, man. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I like that, brother. Yes, sir.
This is the essence of, in my mind, African American empowerment. You're political, right? You're talking about being politically active, and this is what we're talking about. This is what we're promoting. How to be more politically active in terms of trying to change the law that as it stands, right? How to be more active in doing that. Two, you talked about entrepreneurship, right? And business, right? Mm-hmm. That's the E, that's the economic development piece that we need. The A, you talked about in terms of, for us, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, you talked about really taking care of yourself, right? And being more confident and more positive, right? Culture, you just talked about that and how culture is important in terms of how we develop our men and what brothers and fathers and family and love should be like. That's the comprehensive education. That's the element, right? This is African American empowerment. And we can have more men and more brothers and more fathers and more sons and more mothers and more daughters and more sisters skin along these lines, cooperative economics and the principles of Kwanzaa, then we got it made, brother. So I'm impressed. So as we transition into going into the call line, we got about 15 minutes left, but I want to ask you one more question before we do that. I got a few more things that I want to get to, but I want to invite you back already, right? This is holiday, so we're going to cut it short today, but we got about 15. So talk to us a little bit about Sister Krista. You said a key word, you said partnership, right? And I don't think we understand the elements that go into great partnerships that we need to be able to collaborate with each other to be effective at anything that we do, male and female, brothers and sisters. However, talk about her and the thing that y'all are doing with Freedom Over Everything.
Well, listen, we first had an opportunity to meet through Phil Willato, right? And Krista was organizing a rally about almost 2 years ago now. It was the first FOE rally in Chimborazo Park. And I got in touch with her.
Shout out to Chimbo.
She said, you know what, I need a play. And I had an opportunity to say, well, you know what, I'll write one. And so I wrote out a play. I sent it to her.
What?
And it was all about parole and not making parole. Yeah, we actually have a play about not making parole. And I sent it to her. It was, and it turned into, you know, it was a skit, you know, a nice, timely skit. And he got the actors and everything. And my father went to the, I was still incarcerated at this time. And my father went to the rally and broadcasted it live for me to hear it, right? And he was just describing what was going on to me. And I could hear the play being done. And I was like, oh, man, this is so surreal for me. So ever since that time, we've been, like, partners in erasing crime and the criminal, you know, mentality, right? And that's just what it's been for me. So, like, now, even though I have my own thing, many things going on with Virginia Prison Justice Network and Prisoners' Rights Clinic and the defenders and so forth, I now also work for her, really. She's the corporate executive officer for FOE, and I am and I am now the public relations director for FOE.
All right.
So
I like that.
So right, and so it's okay. Like I like that because you qualify yourself for a position. And you hope one day that it'll be made available to you, right? And so in any way that I can help those brothers, Nadia Salam, KD, Kevin Dickinson, and OJ Ali, I really rock with those guys, you know, and I've known Nadia for over 20 years. And so... We've had Oliver Adams, that's right, OJ. And so I just thought that I could step up to the plate and offer my services and offer my expertise and what I can do to make sure that we all do well. And it's what it's all about,
all right.
One brick supporting the other. So Krista has been a great brick for me, man, and I strive to be that. For her, and our working relationship has just blossomed into us working together for a point of impact. It's truly what we call a business marriage, you know, for what we strive to accomplish, man. And if many more could do that, develop friendships in that way, we could get a lot done. But yeah, I think
we got it. We got to do it that way. Let's do this. All right, Sister Krista, you bring her in now.
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, I'm telling y'all, listen, this is a bad sister right here. I'm talking about B-A-D as in good, right? Done a great, has done, is doing, and will continue to do great work. Tell us about what you're doing with FOE and all the other projects that y'all working on, and then I'm going to get you and Brother Hassan to go to the lines with us before we wrap it up.
Well, most definitely he touched on everything, especially core. But, you know, overall, really incorporate the men back into the household and as a family dynamic. We want to be able to make families whole again. So we put together different initiatives that will allow the men to be able to merge back into the house. And it'll be an easy, smooth transition from behind the walls, you know, back into society. So it's nothing that I need to add because everything you spoke on is what we're doing. And, you know, me, I try to stay out the way. It's for the prisoners by the prisoners. You know, I found
that's great work.
That freedom over everything is still incarcerated. And once they give me their ideas, I just help them bring it to life. And guys such as Hassan Rasan, when they come home, I just try to make sure that, you know, everything that they envision for themselves while incarcerated, I help them push that narrative when they come home to stay on the right path and, you know, just to be that outside pillar for them to, you know, fall on.
This sister is a real change aid in. It's the real deal. Let's go to the lines, 845-277-9250. I'm going over to 0673-804, last four, 0673. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question, a comment, a statement for Brother Hassan or Sister Krista, Brother George, and myself? 0673, you're live.
It holds up. I'm not going to be long, but the brother was talking, and I kept saying to myself, it sounds like Sister Christine is in there somewhere. You know what I mean? So sometimes you don't really know what's going to happen, but he had to call her name out. Once he started talking, I said, that sister's around their brother somewhere. So I just want to shout out to both of them. A very powerful presentation. I'm going to end it right there, so let's get on the program and speak.
That sister's like Prego. She's in there. All right, let's go to 0148.
Good evening, y'all.
Thank you, brother.
And it's a pleasure to meet you, Brother Hassan and Sister Krista. I have four areas: employment, housing issues, education, and voter disenfranchisement. Four areas: employment, housing issues, education, and voter disenfranchisement. For a newly incarcerated person who is now released, of those four areas, how would you rearrange those with regards to importance? Again, employment, housing, education, and voter disenfranchisement, for them to be reintegrated back into society. Thank you for taking my call.
Well,
question.
I would tell you from my experience of being a transition in a transition home with multiple guys right now that just came home. One guy just moved into the house 2 days ago. I'm going to tell you, the first thing, first and foremost, right, one thing I would tell you, when you're talking about the necessities of life, when you deal with food, shelter, and clothing, now, the first thing is you have to look within that category of what you gave me and what fits into that parameter right there of food, shelter, and clothing. And the first thing, one of the things I heard you say was housing. What I do know is that when guys come home and they don't have anywhere to go, it can hold you up from making parole if they're going to make you parole. Your home plan got to be right. First and foremost, if your home plan not right, you may not get where you think you're going to go, or you may have to go somewhere far away from where you really want to go in order for you to come back home. And I know guys like that. They're from Richmond, but they can only go to Dorcas Home, which is a transition home down there in Roanoke, right? And the only reason why they have to do that, my brother, is because it's only two transition homes that take violent offenders. And so if you don't have somewhere to go, it could hold you up from getting the proper housing that you need, but it's going also not going to allow for you to do what? Not for allow you to be educated. If you don't have housing, you ain't going to be able to. I mean, you got to have an address before you can get a job, right? They got to be able to mark you down as living somewhere. And so one of the first things I've seen for guys is housing, right? And then after you deal with housing, it is a fact of education, right? They have to be educated enough to take whatever job it is that they strive for, or you want to make sure that they're educated enough to even be able to fill out an application. Some guys have a problem even filling out applications, don't know how to do it. So we have to educate them on that process, educate them on all the different things that they need, right? Once they get into the transition home, we educate them on what the things that they need and how they can go about getting it, and then we help them get employment. We help them get the identification. We help them get whatever it is that they need after that. But and then we also teach them about voter registration. But we do all of that after they get into the house. So in rank of importance, I would say housing, right? And then, of course, we say education and employment. Education and employment, can they go hand in hand? And then voter registration. That is the way that it is actually given down in a transition home. So that hopefully that'll answer your question.
And my answer to that is that one of Freedom Over Everything initiative is a book bag to briefcase initiative where we try to prep the guys according to the education that they already received while incarcerated, because a lot of them have taken up different trades and classes while incarcerated. And we put those things into a book bag with their, we encourage them to get their LLC license and resumes and portfolios already pre-done before coming home. So all they have to do is worry about housing. And let's not forget the mental health, because when you leave the battlefield, you know, we're dealing with mental health issues, right? So we want to make sure they have counselors for them on the outside as well. So there's a lot of pre-prepping that we try to do before they even come home.
Great. That's great work. We need programs like that for people who are already out here at home. We need an at-home program, not a going home or coming home program. We need an at-home program. Amen to that. Somebody need to say amen to that one.
We don't.
Go ahead, sister. All right, we're coming up on 3 minutes, so I gotta tie this up. And this last question, and then we'll go into a final comment for you, Brother Hassan. Slido is heating up for you. The question is, you are a perfect example of to whom much is given, much is requirement. What's your response to that as we wrap up today? Thank you, Brother Hassan. Thank you, Sister Krista. Final comments from you, and then we'll get to Brother George and we'll wrap it up for today. But we got to bring you back. Definitely got to bring you back. All right.
Look,
much
I'ma
is given,
say,
much
I'ma
is...
Say this.
What do you say to that?
I'm going to say this, that you know, my mother, she will always tell me that, right? But this is what I say to that. My grandfather had a song that he used to sing, which was called "If I Can Help Somebody," right? And one of the main core parts of that song was that he said, "If I can help somebody, then my living has not been in vain," right? And so, for me, thinking about to whom much is given, much is required, I believe that when you are commissioned by the Most High to do something, He makes it very easy for you, right? Like when you see superhero movies, right, and you find somebody who has a superpower, like it's easy for them to do what they do and be the hero because they've been blessed with that power. And so for me, even though I've been given much to do, I feel like that I have the ability to accomplish it all. Just give me enough time. And so I embrace the challenge. I love it. I wholeheartedly embrace it because I believe that when God gives you a talent and a gift, you must give it to the people. Because if you do not give that to the people, then you're in essence robbing God. And who would want to rob God? So make sure that you give it back because God has given it to you for the gift. And it's most definitely better to give than to receive because the law of reciprocity is always in effect, and you get what you give.
I like it. All right. Thank you, Brother Hassan. Sister Krista, you got anything before we wrap up?
Just to say that we have to be fishermen of men. You know, God was a great fisherman, and that's the most thing I take out of his text in the Word. We just have to be fishermen of men.
I like it. I'm excited. This is African-American empowerment at its best right here. Regular people doing regular things all the time. And no matter what your situation is, you can always get it done. Brother George, final comment.
Well, brother, it was a great show, and I really appreciate being a part of it. I love your answers, Brother Hassan and Krista. I really appreciate y'all being on the show today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother George. We got to have them back. I like that. Regular people doing regular things, right? No situation, circumstance. Brother said, in essence, be the hero in your own life. You become the star of your own show. You become the superhero and use your gifts, talents, and abilities. It's already in you. You are chosen for the cause. And no matter what the situation is, know that you have everything that you need inside of you. All you got to do is do what you were born to do. Till next week, peace and blessings. To reach the unreachable. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Brother Hassan. Thank you, Sister Chris. Peace and blessings.
Oh, peace and blessings.